Welcome, everybody. Let's see what subject arises today. We tend to see all the circumstances around us, every single thing that is happening, from the weather to the people around us, to the job, to the situation we're in, to the relationship, to everything that is happening, as the reason why we feel one way or another. And we keep giving things outside the power to change our mood, to change how we feel about ourselves, to change how do we define ourselves. I'm sad, I'm a winner, I'm a loser, whatever it is, you know, it really doesn't matter. But we keep giving things outside the power to manage our lives. And we need to start recognizing that. And recognizing that we're giving the power to the stuff outside. And we have that power, but we're giving it. It's kind of like the key to our happiness is within us, yet we rather blame the circumstances and blame the other person and blame our childhood or blame whatever the fuck it is that we want to blame. So we tend to blame whatever it is that is happening outside, when all we need to do is look inside. Really, the answer is inside. So whenever something is not feeling good, it's not about what is happening. It's not what is about what is being said to us. It's not what about what is being done to us. It's not about what is happening at the moment, wherever or whatever that is. It's our reaction, it's our relationship to what is happening. That's it. Everything is just our reaction, our relationship to it. So let me start from one place and we'll look at it from different aspects. Because the truth is like the story that I tell you guys about the elephant, where if three blind people, there's a story that three blind people are asked to describe an elephant, and then one of them says, oh no, the elephant is, you know, something round and heavy and like rough, and then the other one says, no, that's not the elephant, the elephant is something flexible and gooey and, you know, it moves, and the other one says, no, the elephant is something skinny and kind of like rolled inside itself, and the three of them are right? The three of them are describing the truth, but it's a different way. Oh, it's a different aspect of the truth. Make sense so far? So the key to the recognition of what the truth is by being able to recognize different aspects of them. So all we need to do is check what is our relationship to what is happening, to what is being said, or to what we think is being done to us, because it's not what is happening, it's not what is being done to us, it's not what is being said to us, it's not the weather, it's my reaction, my relationship to it. The weather is the perfect example. A friend of mine said one day, what if it is Monday raining and on top of that I get my period? Perfect storm. And yes, you guys probably know what that feels like, right? there is our relationship to the weather, you know. It's raining and we open the blinds and we see that it's raining. It's like, oh, it's raining. And it's raining. It's our relationship to what is happening, which is conditioned, is learned. It's a learned behavior, is conditioned. Every single thing that we do, every single thing that we feel, we can assume that is behavior that is learned, is conditioned. Okay? Whatever that is conditioned. We still at some point can react that way, but we have to recognize the conditioning first. And by conditioning, I mean just a behavior that is learned. And most of the times is learned in a complete misunderstanding. That's it. So one of the examples is rain. The other example is if somebody calls you a name, like for example, if somebody calls me cunt, makes for me, that's the same thing as if they say air. Because I didn't grow up knowing, that having a reaction, a relationship to that word. Well, people that grew up with a relationship to that word get offended. See? So it's not the word, it's not the person that is saying the word, it's my relationship to the word. It's my reaction to it. And these are big examples that are easy to catch. But then we go into examples that are harder and harder and harder to see, because we have to be very vigilant about what is happening. So suddenly we're talking to somebody and we get all pissed off about nothing. Like the other person is saying something and we get all pissed off and all flustered and I can't believe she said that and blah, blah, blah. And all that was said is something that made me react as if I was being betrayed. Kind of like I felt the feeling of betrayal and I gave in immediately into it. Well, if I look at the feeling of betrayal, I can recognize the feeling of betrayal. There's some work that we can do on that, and we'll talk about that. But just the recognition of that feeling is enough. Pissedoffness. Pissedoffness is the easiest way to react when we're in fear, right? Look at any animal. The moment you scare any animal, scaring a child, what do? Either they cry or they get pissed off. An animal will get pissed off, right? That's the way we react. No difference. There's no difference in the way this dog will react when he's scared and the way we will react when they are scared. So every single time we're pissed off, what we have to look is at what is it within me that is actually fearful of whatever happened. And it requires vigilance. It requires for us to be really looking at what is going on. Sorry, I'm getting hot. We start. And I'm sorry, that's not it. That's a no. All right, so we blame people for what is happening, and we assume that by blaming them, then it's enough. You know, it's somebody's fault that I'm in this situation. And it doesn't matter how much we blame it, it's not going to work. And if we try to forgive it, what do I say about forgiveness?
Fuck forgiveness.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Fuck forgiveness, because it's useless. Because if I try to forgive something that there is nothing else to forgive, nothing there to forgive, it's useless. Forgiveness is useless. There's nothing to forgive, because remember, it's not what we think has been done to us. It's what my reaction to an event is. So we go back to the traffic light, right? So I'm driving to work, I'm late, I have a meeting, and fucking traffic light turns red. What do? I get all pissed off, right? So I'm already out of peacefulness. I'm already all pissed off. And then I have to blame it on somebody. Of course, you know, if I didn't have to get a freaking cup of coffee to my husband or to whatever it is, and then you blame it on somebody. And then we go into the fear about what is supposed to happen. So for a second, we took a traffic light and we gave that traffic light the power to make us happy or unhappy, worry or not worried. Does this make sense so far? And it's just a fucking traffic light. Just that. Are we going to be late? God knows. Are we going to be on time? God knows. Are we going to get in trouble? We don't know. Yet we go over all these assumptions about what is going on. So far, so good. Any questions? All right. Then let's get into things that are a little bit more I don't want to say the word complicated because they're not complicated. But they're harder to see. When things are harder to see, then we pass them very easily. We pass them. They're right there for us to see, but we just don't want to look in there. And conditioning is the behavior that we've been, it's kind of like a programming that we have. We all have some sort of programming. My programming, for example, one of my programs, the main one, is nobody can take care of me. Therefore, I gotta fucking do it myself. That's my programming. And because of that programming, every single situation in my life in which I had, for example, relationships or at work or things like that, I had to do things myself. If my partner was helping me at the same level, in whatever it is, right? It doesn't have to be in work in the house. Whatever it is, if there was a true partnership, I was no fucking interested in that guy. I could care less about that person. Because my conditioning was to have that uneven, I gotta take care of myself. Nobody takes care of me. The fear, obviously, is nobody takes care of me. I'm gonna be alone, abandoned, right? That's the fear. So all my life, every single thing that I did, every single situation in which I got, relationships, work, you name it, I had to be in a situation where I had to do things myself. So subconsciously, completely subconsciously, I will meet somebody, and the moment I meet somebody, the signs of unavailability in some way are there, and I would just go right in. Ignoring those things in the relationship and just looking at the relationship parts that were attractive. Does this make sense? Have you ever seen anybody do that? Because we don't see it in ourselves, but you can see it in other people. And it's like, what was she thinking? You know? Have you ever seen that?
Yes.
All right. So we tend to get into the situations in which we just dive into relationships or work or whatever it is, but in situations where I'm gonna be in, nobody takes care of me. I gotta fucking do everything myself. Or situations in which we feel that we're being betrayed. You know, it's like, doesn't necessarily have to be cheating, but it's like, you're not there for me. You're doing something else. You're not interested in being with me. You're betraying me. And same thing happens at work. I feel that you're not there for me. You're betraying me. Same thing at work or in relationship or whatever it is. So we tend to live our lives in a way in which we go into that conditioned behavior. So far, so good? Any questions? So we kind of like have that programming. We have that programming. So it's like in your computer, something that is running 24/7 and you have no clue that it's there. Because we don't have a clue. We get into every single thing in our lives and we end up not liking it and we want to get out of those things. We hate our job, we hate our relationships, we hate our friendships, we hate whatever it is. We're not happy, yet we can't let go of it. And if we happen to let go, we get into something that is exactly the same thing. Different day, different person, different color, different whatever, but exactly the same thing. Until we recognize the programming. The moment we recognize that programming that is happening, then we have the choice of not going there. We talk a lot about free will, right? And we do have the free will to do whatever we want in our lives. Unfortunately, what we call free will is not really free, it's conditioned will. So I will always gravitate towards those situations that I am actually avoiding because they are familiar to me. And because they are familiar to me, I don't want to get out of them. Makes sense? I don't want to get out of them. It sucks. It fucking sucks. Yet I can't get out of them because that's what is familiar to me. And we actually tend to cling onto those situations or those relationships or whatever it is. So far, so good. But the moment I recognize that, you know, I have this fear or I have this conditioning or I'm always looking for these situations, I'm always wanting to serve myself in one way or another, the moment I recognize that, then I have the choice. Then my free will, which was all conditioned and subconscious and really wasn't free, becomes free will. Because I have the choice of not moving into it. The fear is, if I don't move into it, then what? Because it's the unknown, right? We've always acted in a conditioned way, and the moment there is no conditioned way, then what is it? because we've never done it. Right? Make sense so far? We've never acted in a non-conditioned way. We always act in a conditioned way until we start recognizing the conditioning. And when the moment we recognize our conditioning, then we have the choice to stop. But the moment I stop, it's like, now what the fuck? What do? Where do I go? And the fear of not having what is familiar to us, that painful thing that is familiar to us, is bigger than the choice of not having it. Because I don't know what not having that means. Make sense? So the moment I don't have that, I don't know what not having that means. I have no clue. But that's where we need to have balls. That's where the courage is required. Because the moment I stop and I said, you know what? The pain of being here is so much that I can't take it anymore. I'd rather just see what it is not to have that, even though I have no clue how to live without it. Because we keep coming here and we get out of a relationship, a job, you name it, and we end up in the same place. And by the way, we try again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. And it's not working, yet we keep trying. Sounds familiar? We keep doing things over and over and over, thinking that it's going to work this time, yet it doesn't fucking work. It's still the same pain, a different day, but it's the same thing. Yet we keep coming to the same thing, when all we have to do is stop. Stop. It's very simple. Stop. It's my choice, and I choose to stop. Because until today, I've chosen to come the conditioned way. It's kind of like we go towards the pain. That's it. I'm familiar. This is what I'm used to. I go here. But the moment we stop, then we have all this that we don't know. The painful path is very small. The rest is infinite possibilities, yet it's fucking scary, because we do not know. So our mind gets into it and gives us every single excuse why we should not leave this job, we should not leave this relationship, we should not leave, name it, fill in the blank. I should stay here because it's good for whatever the fuck it is. Put, you know, any excuse. Money and kids, that's the most common. Money, kids, friends, money, kids, parents, money, kids, whatever. We use all sorts of excuses not to do something. But all we have to do is stop. Stop. Just stop. Just stop. That's it. Just stop. The moment we stop moving into that conditioned behavior, then the infinite amount of possibilities open up. But it's scary. It's totally scary. Because we rather, it's like when we're little and we jump from here on top of the bed because we don't want to look under the bed to see if there are monsters. There's no different. I'd rather continue being afraid and in pain than to actually take a look under the fucking bed. Because it's the unknown. It's dark. And I have no clue what is under. But if you look under the bed, you say, you know, there's nothing there. That's all we need to do. It's no different than continuing with the fear and the pain that we are living in. If you guys were not in this, you wouldn't be sitting here. You don't need to meditate. It's that simple, right? I needed to meditate because my life sucked. I had an amazing life, yet it sucked. It sucked. I wasn't happy. I wasn't free. I wasn't enjoying it every single time. My relationships were painful. My relationships with anybody were painful. My job was painful. Everything was fucking painful. Until I started to stop one at a time. One at a time. It's all our choice. It's just our choice. It's not easy. Because we are used to going into this. You know, not only we like it, even though we hate it, we absolutely love and are attached and addicted to that pain. We love it. We are addicted to the pain. And even though it sucks, that's what is familiar to us. So we keep going there. So the moment for a while, for example, we see ourselves going there, and it's like, whoa, what am I doing here? Hold on a second. And still we go with that inertia, you know, until we have the courage to stop. But it's all about having that courage to stop. It requires just 2 seconds. No, not today. We'll see tomorrow, but not today. And for the conditioned behaviors, you can name whatever you do during the day. And I'm not kidding, whatever you do during the day is driven by fear, is driven by conditioned behavior. If you have kids, the stuff that you say to the kids is all about fear. You think you're telling them things because you love them, but it's all about you. It's all about fear, you know? Every single thing that we do. If you work, your day at work has fear attached to it. Because what if you lose your job or your place or whatever it is? If you're in a relationship, you get pissed off once in a while, that's fear. Any questions? It's all our choice. Really our choice. And it's not hard, you know? It's really not hard. All we have to do is be very vigilant, one of my favorite words, about what is going on through our head, because it's all there. You know, you're fighting with somebody. And the moment you pay attention to what you're thinking when you're fighting with them or after you fight with them, it's giving you every single clue. I can't believe I'm putting myself in this situation. Why do I have to be in this situation? And then if you continue to pay attention to what is going through your head, and yes, we all think the same shit. If we pay attention to what is going on through our head, it's right there. You know? Right there is the description of what is the fear that we have. It's all right there. Why am I in this situation? I'm always, you know, whatever it is. I'm always the one suffering. I'm always the one that sacrifices. I'm always the one, you name it, you know, fill in the blank. We all have different themes, but the themes are the same themes. We all have different themes, but there is only a number of themes that we can have as conditions. The key is recognizing that. But we don't like to pay attention to what goes on in our head. So we're driving to the supermarket and we get to the supermarket. And while we drove to the supermarket for 10 minutes, we've been fighting in our head with somebody or something. And we have no idea how we got there, but we got there. We really cannot remember what we were fighting about or who we were fighting about or the 3 different episodes that we were fighting. And it's like having ESPN in our head. No different. I swear it's not different than having ESPN in our head. We think we're the thinker of our thoughts. We really think we are the thinker of our thoughts. But it's the most dysfunctional shit you can ever find anywhere. Because the thoughts are like ESPN. When there is a play, like what happened to somebody, what happened in baseball recently that everybody's talking about? Okay, so whatever it is, in order to have an ESPN show for 30 minutes, you have to have different opinions. Because if the 2 of them agree, they say, yeah, I agree with you. Show is ended. Done. So you have to have 2 people or more that have differences in opinion. That's what happens in our head all the time. It's a dialogue. It's, I'm one. And in my head, there's a fucking dialogue. It's a discussion going on. I can't believe she said that to me. And this, of course, and blah, 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 blah. It's a discussion. It's a fucking discussion. Right? I'm not making this up, right? Everybody has the same shit. It's a discussion. differences of opinion. You fight with yourself in your head. It's my voice fighting with my voice. Yes, I like that play. No, I didn't. And it's the same thing. And then there's a third one. And we think that that's normal. We really do. I thought that was the way everything was. Like I never, there was not even a thought that that wasn't normal. There was not even a thought that maybe all that chatter in my head is not real. Never, ever, ever even a thought about that. Until you start discovering that you are thinking and fighting and all that stuff, and suddenly there is this separation where you are actually fucking aware of your thoughts. You're not immersed in them, you're aware of them. It's like, whoa, I was fighting with my head. You know? I was discussing these things. I was fighting with my sister. I was whatever. My poor sister. I was fighting with somebody. You know, I was fighting with somebody in my head. To get lost again, because it has inertia. The moment you start recognizing that what is going on in our head, then you recognize it, and you recognize that it has inertia. It actually pulls you in, because we, remember, are addicted to that. We are addicted to that drama. We're addicted to that. So the moment there is drama in our heads, like, we're in. Yes, fight. And we're driving to the supermarket, fighting with the clerk from the gas station that filled up the car yesterday and poured some gasoline in the car. I don't know, whatever. Or didn't give us the right change or whatever it is. And we're fighting with the guy. And it happened yesterday. The guy's not there. The day is over. And we're fighting with the guy. And by the way, we have to win because we are right. The guy was not. Otherwise, there's no point in fighting, right? So all this is going on in our head, and we are totally immersed physically in it. Because the moment we start thinking, that translates into emotion. So my blood pressure goes up, my pulse goes up, I get red, I'm tense. It's all because of shit that is going on in my head that is not real. It's not real. It's not happening right now. If there was a lion right there, there's like, oh yeah, run. But I'm fighting over things that are not happening. They're just in my head. It's an inside job. It's a fucking inside job. We can be sitting, sipping coffee, on the deck, looking at this beautiful lake, in the most peaceful moment. We look absolutely at ease. And in my head, I'm all worried about work, or I'm fighting with somebody, or whatever. And everything is peaceful. Have you ever been in that situation? It's an inside job. So all we have to do is be vigilant of that. Be vigilant. Because again, we're given circumstances outside, because it's not happening. It's not happening. We're creating circumstances outside, the power to manage how we feel. Make sense? All right. And the only way to change that is to recognize them over and over and over and over and over and over and over. It's not once that I recognized that I was lost in this awful thinking, awful fight, awful drama, awful story. And it's like, oh, okay, I'm done. Because it's not once. It's the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And when we seek to meditate, what we do is we become that stillness for a split second where there is no fighting. We kind of like recognize the thinking and we find ourselves. And the moment we find ourselves, we get lost again. To just find ourselves again. Because we don't know how it happens, right? Do you ever recognize how is it that you realize that you were fighting in your head or were thinking about something? We can plan, we can use the mind. The mind is an amazing tool. like my teacher says, it's like giving a 2-year-old a, what's the name? Come on. A machine gun. If you give a 2-year-old a machine gun, it's a really good tool, but a 2-year-old with a machine gun doesn't know what to do with it, right? It's no different. We have a tool that is an incredible tool that we can use it once in a while, but then the rest of the time it's just blah, 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 blah against whoever wants to be against, and blah, blah, blah against us. Because it's like as equal as an awful judge to others, as an awful judge towards us, right? It's a horrible judge. It's the one that says you should not, you should, you shouldn't, I shouldn't. That I should not have done that. Everything that is a judgment. It means there was a better way to do it than I did. It's done. But there is a better way to do it than I did. But it's done. So let me talk a little bit about meditation. Because when we meditate later on, and I hear this very often, that we meditate. Do you guys know why we meditate? Let me start there. Why meditate?
Stop your mind. Silent. Stop you.
All right. Let's go into deep shit then. All right. So, where am I going to start this subject?
I would say practice awareness.
We are awareness already. If you guys can hear me, you're freaking aware.
But I don't always, I'm not always there.
The awareness doesn't go anywhere.
To connect to the stillness.
Right, about that you can't silence your mind.
What?
I said, how about that you can't silence your mind?
You cannot. You can't. The mind comes with the body. That's it. We have a body, we have a mind. We cannot silence it. It stops for little periods of time. If I tell you stop thinking for 5 minutes, no thoughts for 5 minutes. And I bet you that most of us are, there is no thoughts for like 30 seconds, something like that. And then it's like, don't think. That's not a thought. Maybe that's a thought. No, that's not. I'm not thinking. I'm not thinking. What was that? Shit, I forgot the milk. I'm not thinking. We can't. It just goes on all the time. It comes with the body. It just comes with the body. So silencing the mind is even the fact of sitting and going, I'm not going to think, or whatever it is, that those are thoughts. So silencing the mind is not the key. The key is changing our relationship with our thoughts. Because they become white noise. That's what they become, just white noise. Irrelevant. So let me explain a couple of concepts for those of you that are new, so I can get into this subject. So, spirit or God or creation or whatever you call it, doesn't matter what you call it, whatever you call it, is like a blanket. So everything is that, and I'm going to call it spirit for now. So spirit is everything. So imagine spirit being like a blanket. And here is Michelle, which is spirit being born with that suit as Michelle. And here is Angela being spirit being born with this suit as Angela to have what is the experience of what it is to be Angela. And here's Michelle having the experience of what it is to be Michelle. From where I see Michelle, we're separate. we're totally fucking different, separate, right? Totally separate, totally different. Yet, in essence, we are the same thing. We're spirit having that experience. So here it is, spirit being born as Angela, with Angela's personality, Angela's body, Angela's mind, everything, to have the experience of what it is to be Angela. But this suit comes with the fears of survival, fear of abandonment, fear of death, fear of all that stuff. Even if I think I don't have fear of death, we do have fear of death. So here I am, having this fear that is making me create shells around me and protection and walls to protect me from being hurt and all those other things that separate us from other people, right? So here I am having that experience. But if I am vigilant enough about my thoughts and my emotions, because they are totally linked, there is no thought without an emotion, and there is no emotion without a thought. So if I'm vigilant about what is going on, then I start recognizing those things that are happening in my head that are not happening in reality in this moment, and that are just learned behaviors, conditioning. And the moment I start recognizing those, and recognizing the thoughts, and recognizing the drama, and all this other stuff that goes in my head, then those walls that are around me, protecting me, start falling out, until all that is left is spirit with the suit, with this personality, having the experience of what it is to be spirit having Angela's body and Angela's personality with absolute freedom. So it doesn't matter what happens, good or bad, painful or not, there is some joy in it. Not morbid joy, but there is joy in the experience, because the experience is just the experience and is not dragged into suffering. Make sense so far? It's not dragged into suffering. So when I'm sitting here and I want to meditate, so it's all about letting the mind think, because it comes and goes. That's it. Thoughts come and go. You know, it's like noises, they just come and go. It's nothing, they just come and go. So letting the thoughts come and go. So the spirit that is very still can become aware of being the spirit. So it's kind of like me being the blanket, becoming aware that I'm the blanket, not the suit alone. Does this make sense? So it's me becoming aware of the true essence of what I am. Spirit becoming aware of spirit, of being spirit, not who I think I am, my Angela and all the other stuff. Because the moment I die, the body dies, it's like, I'm here. The blanket is still here. Like Pete. So it's all about that. It's all about that. So meditation is nothing else but allowing ourselves to become still enough that actually we recognize what we truly are. That when we do the meditation in a little while, we recognize that it's not a thing. It has no shape. My body has a shape, but what I am does not have that. Because what I am is the same thing as is evoked when we say the words I am, or I exist, or I. If you think those words, I, that evokes a sense of presence within you. Do you feel it? It's kind of like bringing you into that sense of presence, that I, if you think I am, or I. It doesn't bring you into this, it brings you into something deeper. So today when we meditate, just recognize that. Don't imagine, just recognize it. It's all about recognizing what that is, okay? And then meditation is just us becoming available to that awareness. What we are is what is aware of everything. So it's just the availability to it. The mind will continue to talk, And we recognize at some point that, whoa, I was thinking. The moment we recognize that we were thinking, we're not lost anymore. The moment we recognize that we were thinking, we're not lost anymore in thought. Make sense? Any questions? Or comments?
It's a loud toilet.
That's a very loud toilet. The loo is loud. Whatever we have been doing until today to try to be happy is not working. So we might as well try something else. And the trying something else is just being vigilant of everything that goes on in our thoughts or everything that goes on with our feelings, because they are linked. When I think something sad, I feel sad. And when I feel sad, trust me, I'm thinking something sad. It's no separate. There is no separation between my thoughts and my emotions. When I'm feeling pissed off, I'm thinking something that is making me pissed off. It's that simple. But the moment we recognize them, one or the other, then the other one becomes evident. If I recognize thoughts of sadness, then I recognize the emotion. The moment I recognize the emotion, I recognize the thought. But we have to be vigilant, because these are all things that happen. We have to be vigilant. They're not easy. They don't come with bells and whistles, you know, like we have to be vigilant. And suddenly when we recognize these things for the first time, then we can't stop recognizing them anymore, you know, right? The first time we recognize thoughts or that we've been lost in stories, or we recognize the stories that we're telling ourselves, then we can't stop seeing them. They came to the light. It's kind of like you open the box, you cannot deny what is in the box anymore, right? You can't unsee what you have seen. So the purpose of meditation is to become still enough so we recognize that we are just that which is aware of everything. That's it. And the deeper we go into it, then we start recognizing that that which is aware of everything is everything. And the deeper we go, we recognize that there is nothing else but that. And like Nisargadatta Maharaj said, when I close my eyes, I'm nothing. And that's wisdom. And when I open my eyes, I'm everything. And that's love. And between the two, my life turns. Which is nothing else but saying, I am the spirit, but I'm also the human. And between the two, being the spirit and being the human, I'm constantly moving during the day.